This is topic 49, the course summary for Biblical Solutions for Life Issues. I thought I'd read from Romans for us this morning, just real quick. Romans 15, 14, and Paul says, "And concerning you, my brethren, I myself also am convinced that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able also to admonish one another." And so that's kind of been one of our standard verses for this series, and that we are each able to bring biblical care to one another. And we have all the resources we need to do that. And so it's kind of been our banner throughout this year and a half or so to hopefully, as we've studied various issues, to bring, give ourselves the resources through the Spirit that indwells us and the Word, the powerful Word of God, to be changed ourselves and to care for other people. So hopefully it's been exciting for you. So I thought we'd spend a little bit of time today going through just a review. Now, we had 47 topics, I think, so to spend an hour giving a highlight of 47 topics would be very difficult, so I'm not going to do that. But we will touch on the general course, the flow of what we've covered thus far. And then there's some other things that I think are highlight things that we ought to give ourselves to remember and take away. So that's what we're going to do this morning. So we know that that many people throughout the world are hurting, and we may know some of those people. We may be ourselves that are hurting in various ways. Really, that shouldn't be surprising because the Scriptures tell us that diverse people in diverse life situations with diverse life experiences will undergo trouble in their lives. We will have trouble. It's not a question of if, it's a question of when. Because that's the world we live in. But in the midst of that, believers have been given the resources to bring lasting, God-honoring care to hurting people. We have the resources to be able to do that. So we've talked a lot about that. So through the course study, we in the table there, that gives us the, that's every lesson that we've talked about. And so, unbeknownst to all of us, maybe except for Casey and I, there was actually a purpose to the course direction we were going. And hopefully, hopefully we'll let you know that as we were going through it. But if we didn't, you'll get the summary now. So, topics 1 through 10 were kind of an introduction and foundation that we laid for what we would be studying. We thought it was important to lay the groundwork, the theological groundwork, to move us into dealing with specific issues. And so we talked about the fact that each of us are competent to disciple other people. We talked, essentially spent a whole lesson talking about that and how we are have all the resources we need to bring care to hurting people. We then talked about God's attributes, and we'll talk a little bit more about this later, but to lay a foundation for our great and mighty God. And because as we dwell on Him and study Him from His Word, we are motivated to love and obedience for Him. We talked about sin and the problem that we each have. We talked about true saving faith and spent some time talking about that. What the amazing things that God does for us in salvation. All the amazing blessings that He pours out for us in Christ. And so we talked about that. We talked about being bowed before God in worship and the filling of the Holy Spirit. We talked about not bowing before other masters, but bowing only before God. We talked about the Word of God and how it's powerful. We talked about sanctification and change. And we talked about the role of the body, the church, in bringing care to each of us. And then we gave, Casey gave a little bit of a history of psychology so that we can understand where the world's viewpoint is on the things that they believe. So that was a good thing. Then we hit a couple topics, individual topics, godliness, forgiveness. Forgiveness, I thought, was a, for me anyway, as I studied that, that was a very meaningful study, I think, very different than what many people teach. And forgiveness in relationships and relationship reconciliation is a huge deal that we all maybe struggle with, or many people struggle with, and so that was a very important thing I think we studied. We talked about temptation and pride, and and dealing with those issues. We then spent 3 weeks talking about trials and suffering. And in my mind, two of the key attributes of God when we talk about trials and suffering are his faithfulness and his sovereignty. And so we spent time talking about each of those topics as well. We then talked about decision-making and how to go about making wise decisions in non-moral issues, those things that aren't specifically commanded or prohibited in Scripture, and how do we make those decisions. I think that's something that that every person from young to old can benefit from. We then talked about sexual immorality and spent 2 weeks talking about that. We talked about general sexual immorality, then we spent a week talking about homosexuality and gender issues. And so we, since that's a popular topic in today's society. We talked about laziness, or essentially unfaithfulness in executing our duties, what God would call us to do. We talked about anger, and then we spent 3 weeks talking about God's plan or his desire for us, what his word says about how to deal with finances and material things. And so, remember Brad Neal came in and talked to us for 3 weeks on that, those topics. We then spent quite a long series on marriage, and intermingled in there, we talked about singleness, and not everybody is married, not everybody will get married, so we spent some time talking on singleness as well. But then we went through marriage, and many of the struggles that people have in their life are those relationships, and the most closest relationships they have with people. So we talked about that. Our desire there was that as we go through that, we wouldn't wait. The analogy is we many people wait until the boat has sunk to the bottom of the ocean before they seek help and look to bring care into their relationships. It's very difficult to bring a boat up from the bottom of the ocean. It's much easier to plug a small hole and to bail out a little bit of water than to bring a boat up from the ocean. So we talked about that with marriage. We then spent some time talking about parenting and the various issues related with parenting, the mother and father roles, really the purpose of parenting, which is making disciples of our children. That's their greatest need. Their greatest need is not self-esteem or a good job or the right spouse. It is salvation. So we talked about that. We then spent some time talking about depression. That was right at the first of the year. Depression and bipolar disorder. And so those were, I think, meaningful. Hopefully that helped us. In the midst of that, we talked about mental illness as well. And we'll talk more about that today in the review. But we spent some time talking about that with depression and bipolar. We then talked, most recently, we spent a series on fear. And we talked about anxiety, OCD, fear of man, PTSD. And then last week, we talked about addiction. So that kind of brought us through the whole year plus time. So hopefully that material has been useful for us, for each of us, and we can have been growing in our relationship with God as we've seen what he says about these topics and what he desires for us. And not only we can see it, but then we can put it into action and actually walk it as well. And so hopefully that's been encouraging to each of us. All of those studies are out on the website, so you can have access to those, and the PDF as well as the audio video. You see the talking head. Any questions or comments before we continue on? Yes.
How many paper copies?
Yeah, I think we're probably after today. We'll probably take the box and make recycling out of it. So, all of it's uploaded on the website. So. If you think you're missing something, you want a hard copy of it, go ahead and pick it up in the back. As far as I know, unless the website goes down or something, or there's a format change.
I see it as a great resource. I know somebody that is a believer who's using more psychology and drugs to deal with things that can be kind of level ways, physical ways, and they don't even live in the area.
Yeah, that's been our hope, is that there's a good resource out there. So I'm glad that's been useful. So the next thing we want to talk about is suffering and disease. And so remember, we've talked a lot about suffering, right? Because people are suffering. We might be suffering. And the suffering entered the world at the fall. And in general, just in a general sense, suffering is a result of the fall, either by corrupted creation or as a recipient of the sinful action of another person, or even our own choices. In the midst of that, we know that God is sovereign over all suffering, either by direction or permission, and that in the midst of difficulties, He calls believers to rejoice and persevere. And it's important for us to understand that, you know, when we're in the midst of difficulty, what do we want? What's the biggest thing we normally want? Relief, right? We want the difficulty to be gone. That's their temptation, right? In all cases, will the difficulty be gone? No. And so, I mean, we know that, right? And that might not be God's plan to have the difficulty gone. But He does have a plan for how we will honor Him within that. He has the desire for how we will honor Him in our difficulty. There's a great quote from Charles Spurgeon that I go to often related to this. He gave a sermon over 150 years ago, 40 years ago, and on Isaiah, and he says, "Spiritual darkness of any sort is to be avoided and not desired, and yet, surprising as it may seem to be, it is the fact that some of the best of God's people frequently walk in darkness. Some of them are wrapped in a sevenfold gloom at times, and to them neither sun nor moon nor stars appear. As a pastor of a large church, I have to observe a great variety of experiences, and I note that some of whom I greatly love and esteem, who are, in my judgment, among the very choicest of God's people, nevertheless travel most of the way to heaven by night." And so we know that. There's difficulty in life, but yet God has provided us the resources to glorify Him in the midst of the difficulty. The difficulty may not change, right? But He gives us grace and the resources to honor Him in it. So that's a key point, I think, to keep in mind. And that what we're about is not removing necessarily difficulties, right? Because we can't. That's God who can do that, only God. But we can honor Him as He gives us grace and strength. As we go before His throne, asking for grace and help in time of trouble. We also talked about that the prevailing thought in the medical community is that people struggling with mental disorders are sick. We talked a lot about that. That's based on a medical model of those struggles. When someone has cancer, there's a pathology showing the disease is present that must be treated in a medical way. You can actually see the cellular level, there's a problem, right? It has to be treated. It doesn't have to be treated, but should be treated. And the problem with calling mental illness a disorder, mental disorders an illness, is that there's no test to show a pathology. There's no test. And this makes sense that the world's viewpoint here, we'll talk more about the difference between what the world says and what scriptures say. But it makes sense from their viewpoint, right? Because what they have available to them in terms of resources to care for people who are struggling in these ways is the only thing they have is that medical model. So it would make sense that that's what they think. Now, in some cases, there is what is called medical illness actually is an illness. There are times where, and it seems to be the delineator is if there's a psychosis, a break with reality, that's not, your brain is doing something wrong, and it's misfiring. So there's something going on up there that needs to be cared for. But from our standpoint, we want to make sure that we're careful to never call anything a disease that the Bible calls sin. That's an important thing to keep in mind. We never want to call something a disease that the Bible calls sin. So what is drug? We talked about that recently. Drunkenness is sin. Sin. We can call it multiple things, right? But yes, dissipation. At the same time, we want to make sure that we're not calling anything sin that the Bible does not clearly call sin as well. That's called legalism. We don't want to do that either. When we label something a disease that's really a sin, that offers no hope to someone. And it could tend to influence God's children to avoid responsibility for their sin. Why have a disease? Therefore, because where do diseases come from? It's from outside ourselves, right? I have a disease, so it's something that's not my fault. So we want to be very careful with those things. We then talked about also, we compared with the world's ideas with God's ideas. And when we speak of the world, we mean the current system that belongs to whom? Satan. It's a system that leaves God out and is opposed to him. And Satan's aim is to make the values of this godless system seem attractive, appealing to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life. To entice us to sin. So we shouldn't be surprised that what the world thinks is very different from what the Bible says, right? That shouldn't be surprising to us. The world has one idea, and God in his word has given us a different. So there are three questions that mankind, regarding mankind, for which the world provides answers. And these are different than what the Bible says, the answer to these questions. So who is man, what is wrong with him, and how do we fix him? Those are the three questions. So who is man? Well, the world says that man is an evolved animal born morally neutral or even good and governed by instincts. That's what the world would tell us. That's a generalization, right? It could be much larger than that and with different ideas, but that's a generalization. The Bible says that man is a created being in the image of God for the purpose of glorifying him. Say amen. What's wrong with man? Well, the world would say environmental factors and experiences have influenced man to cause problems in his life. When I say man, I'm saying mankind, obviously, right? Man is not at fault, and he is not responsible. The Bible would say something very different. Man is a sinner by nature and choice, and is responsible for his own sin and responses to experiences. Sinner and responsible. So how do we fix them? How do we fix people? The world would say man's fixed by medication designed to address behavior and or re-education or changing of emotions and thinking. Because there has to be something wrong with them because it's not their fault. The Bible says, on the other hand, that man requires freedom from the penalty and power of sin through salvation in Christ. That's the only hope to bring God-honoring change. Then, growth, we'll call it progressive sanctification, through the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. We continue to change. Right? And that's the promise that God gives us, that he will continue to change us. Very different ideas that need to be addressed, the issues need to be addressed differently. Any questions or comments there before we move on to the presuppositions? Okay, so we talked about also that there are some foundational presuppositions regarding what the scriptures teach that we really have to understand if we're going to bring change to our own lives and help care for other people as well. And the first one, we just said it, right? That only Christ can set people free from the penalty and power of sin. That is the first thing we need to understand. Satan's world system has no power to free people from the penalty and power of sin. None. Only Christ can do that. And really, the question for each of us is, do I look somewhere other than Jesus to be freed from the penalty and power of sin? I think I know everybody in here. I think hopefully I can say that we haven't done that. But some people have. Some people that we see every Sunday maybe have done that. They're looking to other places. It's only Christ that can set us free. Next one is, the Bible is the inspired word of God, His complete moral will for us. We have to understand this. Wasn't an apologetics class, so I didn't spend a lot of time laying out all the reasons why we believe the Bible is not just a book written by people. Right? It is God's word. His very words that He's given us. Because they're God's words, then the number three here is connected to number two, and that only the Scriptures are authoritative and fully sufficient to meet the spiritual needs of God's children. Because it is powerful, it is authoritative in our lives, and fully sufficient to meet the needs that we have. It's powerful, and it's used by God to accomplish His desire in the lives of people. And there's, as you can see in the notes, there's passages that talk to each of these. Number four then, or the question then for us is, I want to make sure I touch on this question, is how high is our view of Scripture? What do we think of this book? Some nice writings, says some encouraging things. The stuff is challenging, well, I'll just throw that away. That's too much. No, these are God's words. You can think of it as His love letter to us. Very important. Number four there, all true believers, those who have exercised the gift of true saving faith, have all the resources now, through the Spirit and God's Word, to walk in a manner that glorifies Him. We have all the resources we need now. It's interesting, I think, that many Christians are always looking for the next method of spiritual success. They're always looking for the next thing. The next self-help book that's sold at the Christian bookstore. They listen to sermon after sermon. They search the internet, the bane of spiritual growth, the internet. Read blog after blog. Always continuing to look for the next way to change. But yet continuing to struggle in their Christian walk. We've talked with a lot of folks who are like this. Week after week. Searching the internet, scouring the internet, looking for the words that are going to be special for them, to change them. That's not what God's Word says. We don't need to look for the next gimmick to walk in a manner that glorifies Him. We have all the resources we need now through the indwelling Holy Spirit and the powerful Word of God to be changed. Now, the other resource we have is the body as well, right? We'll talk about that in a few minutes. But we have a family to come alongside us as well. Number five there, every believer is capable and commanded to make disciples. Anybody disagree with that statement? We are capable and commanded. Spirit-filled believers teach and admonish one another. Able to admonish, as we just read in Romans 15, and are called to restore other sinning believers from Galatians 6. That's what we're called to do. To be doing that, what needs to be true? Can we live on an island and do that? No. Right, we need to be involved in people's lives. So a question for us is, what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? You waiting to take a class? To have your Bible degree? To have a piece of paper that says you can do it now? Hopefully not. We're able to care for others. We need to be doing that now. We then talked about, we get that theology review that we talked about. As we went through the first section of our class. And in the notes here, you can look at that. And we talked about God's attributes. We talked about how amazing God is. And we talked about sin. in its insidiousness, how each of us are totally depraved. We talked about true saving faith. That was important because some people are calling faith something that it's not. So we want to make sure we understood that. That in true saving faith is wrapped into it repentance, denial, forsaking all, following Jesus. We talked about that true saving faith results in a changed life. It puts us on a new path. We're freed from sin, freed from enslavement to sin, and now we're on a new path. And all the things that God does, amazing to us at salvation. We talked about the filling of the Spirit, not bowing to another master, but only bowing to God, only bowing to the Lord, and what that produces in our life. Christ-like heart motives, attitudes, words, reactions, and relationships. Talked about that. We talked about the role of the church. The role of the church. Maybe one of the most avoided things within the body of Christ is actually the body of Christ. Having deep, intimate relationships. Open relationships with one another in terms of our thoughts and emotions. And our struggles. So that we can bring caring for one another. And then extending ourselves, actually, right, to other people to care for them. A significant demonstration of love between believers is to be concerned about each other's walk with Christ, and therefore enter into those difficult conversations and actions that are best for each other. That's love. That's how we love. And we're commanded, not only should we want to do that, but we're also commanded to do that. Question for us is, do we extend ourselves to your family? To your family in Christ? Are we doing it? Any questions or comments before we move on?
This doesn't just fall into your lap. You know, you need, like you said, you need to be available. Folks that just feel either inadequate or they'll just call themselves shy or something. And it's not just, you have to keep remembering the goal and keeping your eyes on the Lord so that you can desire to make the riches into people's lives, build those riches into
them. Available and willing. Sorry, some. It's much more than just being an example. Of displaying a life that's different. It's actually words that have to be said. Excellent. Jim, you were going to say something?
You said it's willingness to enter into difficult conversations with people. But that's like just the correction side of it. The other side is the encouraging conversations, to encourage them to build them up. They know you're not very correct.
That's a great point. Yeah. It's the whole gamut of bringing care, right? The difficult conversations, the easy conversations, the physical help sometimes that it may take. All of that. Excellent. Thank you. Well, let's talk about the next important truths in addressing difficult life issues and sin. And the thing that's important to note here is that this is not a box checking thing, right? Don't make a list that you're checking the boxes here. I mean, these are things that from God's Word we pulled out to say, hey, these are ways that God says to address these things. But it's not necessarily the only process that God has, right? And so we want to make sure that we're not checking boxes here, but actually working on our relationship with Him. So the first one is that we have to understand that our highest goal is to glorify God. Ultimately, will each of us commit to honor Him regardless of circumstances or feelings? That's it. Circumstances may not change. Will you still honor God? I may not feel like doing it. Or good feelings may not be reciprocated from other people. But am I going to choose to obey Him anyway? Choose to honor Him anyway? That has to be our overriding purpose in our life, is to glorify God. And what is your most important overriding purpose? A question for each of us. Is it to be at ease? To have peace? Or to honor Him? The second one was, we must strive to walk in the Spirit. And we've talked a lot about this. We've talked a lot about bowing before God. We find ourselves sinning and therefore bow before another master. Other than the Lord, we must repent and bow again before Him. As we repent and once again bow before the Lord as Master, we will be filled with the Spirit and the life of Christ will flow through. We will be filled with the Spirit. And His, those results of it will be evident in our life. The fruits of the Spirit will be evident. So a question for us is, are you consistently walking in the Spirit? Bowing only before the Lord? Or do you find yourself always or often bowing before another master? You need to only bow before the Lord. Next, the believer must cultivate a deep understanding of God and His character through a study of His Word. It's amazing that the number of people who will say, my God would never do, or my God is not like, and you fill in the blank, right? Well, I think it's important for all of us to actually know what God is like. Right? To understand who He is, what He's like, and what His character is as we study His Word. Understanding who God is and what we think about Him, that affects us deeply. If I don't understand that God is sovereign, and He is faithful, I mean, what does that do in my life? Am I anxious? Am I worried? Am I trying to take control of everything on my own? Because I have nobody who's in charge? All of those things. That's just one example. If I view God as only loving and graceful, gracious and merciful, do I say, oh well, you know, that's just me. I'm just an anxious person. That's just who I am. Well, God calls that sin. And along with loving and gracious and merciful, He's also just and holy and righteous. And He says that that's sin. We don't want to be putting that off. So we need to understand who God is. The more our thoughts are set on the things above, on God, the more we'll cultivate a heart motive to obey, please, honor, and glorify Him. So for each of us, from where do you get your view of God? Where do you get that? Hopefully it's from His Word. It's from His Word. Next, the believer must be actively involved in a local body. We've talked a lot about this. This is, in fact, so much so that there's a whole page on it in your notes here. But we won't go into detail here. But it's very important that we understand that, that the body is here to bring care to one another. God has organized His church for the purpose of making disciples. Part of making disciples is bringing that care to each other. Also, in the midst of difficult life issues, what's our tendency when I'm in the middle of a difficult life issue? To not go to your family. To not go to your family. not only to not go to your family, but to kind of go in, like turn all your attention inside to yourself. So now it's all about me. It's all about the problem that I'm having. God never says to do that. In fact, he says to serve one another. When I continue to serve one another, I'm continuing to, when I think of other people as more important than myself, I keep the focus off myself and on where God, on a focus that honors God. Final question there then is, are you actively involved in your local body? And you know, when I say actively involved, I don't say, I don't mean you have necessarily joined an official ministry of the church. You're not serving in Awana or the security team or the grounds keeping or all the, you know, Sunday schools, growth groups, and all the things that are out there. What I mean is, are you involved in relationships within the body? Are you using the gifts that God has given you to serve other people within the body? Are you interacting with people in the body? Or is your interaction limited to good morning and see you next week? Very important. The last thing then is to follow biblical methods of turning from sin. We've talked a lot about this too. These methods always involve yielding to the Holy Spirit, submission to the Word of God, and putting off sin, renewing the mind, and putting on righteousness. If I'm going to have my mind renewed by God's Word, what has to be true? I have to be a believer, because then I have the resources to do that. Then I have to read it, right? I actually have to be reading it. I have to actually be interacting with God's Word on a regular basis. It's actually, it's sad, the number of people that we talk with who are struggling, and we'll ask them, well, how often are you reading, interacting with God's Word? You know, I pray sometimes, but I really don't read the Bible. Oh, okay. Well, let's talk about that. Where are we going to have our heart level change come from? It's God's powerful Word as the Spirit applies it to our hearts. So we need to be making sure we're doing that. So are you taking in the Word of God consistently and constantly? Are we doing that? Very important. But next, we talked about laying aside the old self, sin, turning from it, having our mind renewed by the Word of God, and then putting on righteousness. It's important that the Bible, we understand that the Bible doesn't say, stop a bad habit. That's not what God's Word says. It says, put off sin. Have your mind changed and do righteousness. That's the process. It's also not doing righteousness and not putting away or laying aside, putting off the sin. We don't just stop the sin and not do righteousness. We just don't do righteousness and don't stop the sin. We throw away the sin. We have our minds changed, and we do righteousness. We found that from Ephesians 4. We spent an entire class talking about that as well. Any thoughts or questions there? So, some concluding thoughts, and then we'll talk a little bit more after we turn the video off. But hopefully we've made the point over the last year and today that The Scriptures are clear that all believers are able and commanded to use the Scriptures in the power of the Spirit to address their own and others' life issues and sin. Hopefully we've convinced everyone that that's true. Because I believe that's what the Scriptures teach. If we're going to use the Scriptures in this way, then the Scriptures need to be an integral part of our life, like we just talked about. And we see several passages that talk about that. So a question for each of us, am I involved in disciple making? Am I involved in that? In some way? Hopefully we can each say yes to that. Hopefully we can each say yes.